Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today. That is one of our blessings, our location here, here at South Valley, that we get a number of visitors that are staying on the strip and so forth, and we give you a special welcome. We are going to be looking at a lesson today. Two are better than one. And that especially is true when it comes to donuts. One's just not enough. One's just a tease for you. But we're going to look at a passage of scripture that describes this. Brother Kurt read the passage to us this morning with our scripture reading, taken from Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, and we'll be looking at just a few short verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's a short passage. I know I have read this numerous times throughout my life. And I have a tendency sometimes to just read the words instead of kind of slowing down and chewing on it a little bit. And I see three different things in this short passage. One of the things is regarding two is better than one when it comes to work, effort. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. There's a lot to be said about working together on a project. One passes the time. It just kind of, you lean on the other one. You can assist the other one. Sometimes you just need an extra set of hands, an extra set of eyes on how to go about doing something. When you get tired, the other one can kind of keep you going. You're not as apt to stop. I remember when I was a teenager, I had the pleasure of one of the many jobs I had growing up. Had a job for one of the men in the congregation that I attended. He owned a Winnebago camper facility here in town, and they sold Winnebago campers, and we made camper shells there at the location. And he designed it. Him, another man of the congregation, and me worked there. There was three of us. And what an advantage to me it was as a teenager, as a young man, to work in a place every day with an elder and another older man that had the scars of service in his life. He'd been around, he had served God in a variety of ways. The benefits was much more than just work. It was just being around their company. But the man that owned it had devised a way. These camper shells were designed by Winnebago to be built by one person. That one person could do it. That's good, in case you ever found yourself in that way. The elder devised a way for people to work together, especially if there were more people there, work together, we could build more than two faster together than one person could build one. And it was that, it's this principle, working together. And the time seemed to go faster that way. Now, if somebody was off making a cell or installation or something like that, and you had to work alone, you could. Winnebago designed it that way, where one person could build them. But working together, you built them faster. In Luke 10, we see this principle of working together. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He sent his disciples out in pairs. You're bolder in pairs to work preaching the word of God. What one person might forget, the others going to be that fill in. You don't have to conduct a Bible study all by yourself. You can go with a partner. It's not as intimidating. You're more encouraged that way. You're not as apt to stop and quit working with a partner. We see in Romans 16 about Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife that worked together. Not only did they work together themselves, but as Paul calls them, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They worked with Paul, and they got the benefit of not only bouncing things off of each other, but working with Paul. Paul would mention, Paul and John would mention fellow workers in the kingdom numerous times. And that's a good way for us to approach, whether it be study, evangelism, worship. We worship together, not just by ourselves. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, Jesus would send his apostles out. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Sometimes we might be in a situation where we're alone. But we're not alone. Jesus says he will be with us. It's always great to be working side by side in the kingdom or in a secular setting or in the home setting to be working with somebody else for the assistance, whatever. But even if we're by ourselves, we know that Jesus is with us, helping us. Philippians 2:22, but you know, Paul's talking about Timothy, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. What a benefit to both of them. Timothy was able to help Paul do more than Paul could have done by himself. Think of the benefit Timothy had working with Paul. The learning that he, the mentoring, the experience that he got. In 1 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in prayers, in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our God and Father. Their work had an impact on Paul. That he's remembering the Christians in Thessalonica, they're encouraging him. That never ceases to amaze me. Paul is this super Christian, always encouraging others, but Paul got encouragement and needed that encouragement from the work that other Christians were doing. Another thing that two are better than one is with help and comforting each other. Verse 10 and 11 in Ecclesiastes, it says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Two are better than one when it comes to comforting each other, when it comes to helping each other in this walk that we're making called life. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we see the encouragement and the command to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We're not designed to be isolated. We're not designed to be an island by ourselves. We're designed, and the Hebrew writer hits it right on the head. Encourage each other. Come together. Don't forsake the coming together. And when you do, stir each other up for in love and in good works. In Colossians 3, Paul would write, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." We help each other. We forgive each other. When somebody is caught in sin, we just don't wag our finger at them. We help correct them. We help lift them up. We help get them out of the sin that they're in and turn them around. Jesus would say in John 13, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And if we love one another, we're not going to isolate ourselves from each other. We need to come together to be able to stir up that love, to demonstrate that love. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, he says, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." He's encouraging them to keep going, but is acknowledging that they have been, and he sees what they've been doing. Just a couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 3, he says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." Sometimes just being faithful, just continuing on, is an encouragement to somebody else. Somebody that you haven't seen or heard from, and you know that this congregation that you used to worship with is still sound, or that the eldership in a location is still sound. That's encouraging. But look at the flip side, the discouragement it is that a person that is used to be faithful, and you find out that they've fallen away. What a discouragement that is to you. And Paul's telling them, you've been such an encouragement to us. When Timothy came telling us about your faith, your love, you know, it's made the world of difference to us. And the last thing I want us to look at is, two are better than one with protection. Verse 12 of Ecclesiastes says, "Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." We protect each other. We protect each other physically sometimes, but we also protect each other spiritually. We protect each other through making sure false doctrine is not taught. We protect each other by correcting each other, keeping somebody safe spiritually, out of sin. In Acts 20, starting in verse 28, it reads, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock." Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders here. He says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." One of the ways we need to protect each other is spiritually, through sound doctrine, to make sure others are not led astray. One of the last things that Paul would write in his letter to Timothy says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Again, I think of in the Great Commission where we looked at in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Paul's writing to Timothy here from prison, awaiting execution. And he says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I've glanced over numerous times Ecclesiastes 4, and I failed to see some of those things. But we see that in this short passage, that two are better than one for our work. Two are better than one as far as our help and comfort. And two are better than one for our protection, for sound doctrine. If we can be of service to you if you have a need of putting your Lord on in baptism, if you've been studying and realize that there is sin in your life and that you want to remedy that and be forgiven of your sins, we can baptize you today. If you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need prayers of the congregation of your brothers and sisters, whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.